again. This is the old, old Good Morning Men. Kermit Edney with program 14 of a series of 260 programs we're calling Where Mr. Phipps Left Off. These programs deal only with the past 50 years of WHKP service to this area, while the great Frank Fitzsimmons series, resulting in the three-book trilogy From the Banks of the Ocklawaha, dealt with Henderson County's earliest years. Earlier this week, aviation pioneers, active even through most of those last 50 years, trains that no longer run, and today, buses. Very few people realize that Joel Wright, I like to call him the little old oil man, Joel Wright was once a bus driver. A lot of people knew and came in contact with Joe Wright, the city councilman, Joe Wright, the civic leader, but most never knew his career began as a bus driver. The great Charlie Choo Choo Justice, a friend of Joe's, remembers when he drove buses. In fact, Charlie even rode with him on several runs, and Joe didn't drive just any bus. He drove any bus his daddy told him to, because the Wright family owned the Carolina Senate coach line. It was one of three bus companies doing business in the highly competitive 40s and 50s when Buster Livingston's beautiful city bus terminal accommodated not only Carolina Scenic but Greyhound and Queen City Coach Line. The city bus terminal located at the corner of 7th and Main where Nation's Bank Building stands today. The giant buses would wheel in off 7th Avenue and after handling passengers and express business would exit back into Main Street to continue their runs. Odin Morris was not just the agent. Odin ran the terminal, and he had been exposed to the schedules of all the bus lines so much he didn't even refer to timetables. Without notes or prompting, Odin could give you the time you'd arrive in Birmingham or Cleveland. The bus station, as everybody called it, was busy 24 hours a day. Next door was the famous Tracy's Place, a short-order cafe which never closed and was owned and operated by Tracy Earlkers, who had come here from Murphy. I went into service with Tracy, and if ever you saw a man who had trouble with basic training, it was Tracy. He was a night man, being in the eatery all night long, and then he'd sleep all day. In St. Petersburg, during basic, Tracy would sit in the latrine and read comic books all night because he couldn't sleep. And he'd doze off just before reveille and sleep through reveille. When the rest of us would roll out and the roll call would get down to Earlkers, the sergeant would struggle with a name. He'd spell it O-E-L-K-E-R-S, or finally something like O-Leakers or Elkers, anything. And I'd always grunt, "Yo!" I could finally get him out for some breakfast and to the first formation with patient struggling. There was established from this unusual relationship a friendship I never forgot. And he is the only man I know of to receive proper assignment according to his skills by the Army. After basic, Tracy ran a beer PX for the Army. The rest of the time he was in service. The bus business still was booming after World War II and would continue to do so long after the passenger train business began to fade. Buses had more frequent schedules and traveled to more cities than did the trains. But again, the interstate system and the four-laning of the primary system forced the bus lines to change. Instead of traveling from Spartanburg up U.S. 176 through Inman, Grambling, Campobello, Landrum, Tryon, Saluda, Tuxedo, and Flat Rock, East Flat Rock, to get an improved operating schedule, they moved over to the interstates and simply bypassed the small towns. They saved time, but they lost contact with the local business. And much as the same as the railroads, the local terminals did become hangouts for loafers and drunks and bums. In fact, on our last Amtrak trip through Chicago, to solve the problem of loafers and bums hanging around the Great Chicago Terminal, they've simply removed all the seats. There is, or at least on our last trip through, no seats in the Chicago train terminal. In most cases, the buses were relegated to the business of hauling only those people who couldn't afford anything else. Carolina merged with Queen City, which was purchased by Holiday Inn, and in this area now the only service is from a few Greyhound trailways still running. And in talking about transportation, I certainly must include the City Bus Company, operated at one time or another by Ralph Young or John L. Loy. The buses operated by the City Bus Company were nothing at all similar to the huge vehicles you see in metro areas today. They were more like school buses, and as I remember, were painted white with a blue trim. In the years the company operated, they were simply vital, because in the years just after the war, cars were still not available to everybody, and there were many who couldn't afford cars that became regular users of City Bus Company. So Hendersonville has made the transition from the trolleys, which Mr. Fitz told you about, even to the City Bus Company, which was operating here when WHKP first signed on the air. another memory of the seventh child of the seventh child, born here with good sense never to leave, and who's had a job doing what he loved not for 50 years, but for a lifetime. Sursum corda, as we move into the next 50 years.